It's Wednesday, the 12th of July, and you're listening to a Red Army Roundup off-season special. I'm your host, Paul Hinton, and as ever, I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Hello there, gents.
Hello there, Paul.
Good evening, Paul.
And you join us in our first off-season special. Bit of a longer gap than we've usually had. It took a while, really, for signing news to get going. And then it took even longer for the three of us to get organised enough to record a show. So we're going to run through everything that's happened since our last show way back in April. So we've got the changes to the conference in the Elite League, the announced roster changes as well, so the structure of the rosters. We're going to have a run through the 11 other teams in the league and some notable signings, departures and movements there before taking a look at a more in-depth look at our roster so far, the ins and the outs. We've got a couple of burning questions, and we're going to talk a little bit excitedly about the upcoming CHL games to end things off. So cracking on, not long after the playoffs, it was announced that, I think we probably knew at the playoffs, there were two new teams, Milton Keynes Lightning and Guildford Flames joining the Elite League. The big question being, how were they going to be accommodated? And the announcement was three conferences of four teams, with the newly joined Milton Keynes and Guildford being put with Manchester and Coventry, the Scottish teams having their own little conference, and then the First Division with Cardiff, Nottingham Panthers and Sheffield Steelers. I feel like I didn't say everyone there. Aaron, what were your thoughts on obviously it's great to have new teams in the league, I assume you'll agree, but the way the league did it, would you rather have seen, you know, two conferences of six, you know, assuming that one flat league was always out of the question?
It doesn't really particularly bother me that much. Like you said, it's new teams. You get to go to new places if you travel away. It'll be a different environment, so it'll be fun to watch. And I wasn't really fussed on the way they did it. Like, the three conferences of four does make it, for me, a little bit more competitive, because we do get to play the big teams a little bit more, and those games are always more enjoyable. But I would have been happy to see two conferences of six, just because you don't, like, the downfall of playing one team so many times is that you get a little bit bored. But, you know, it's all swings and roundabouts with the conferences. I'm pretty happy with the way it is, and I don't think you could have done it a better way, because, like, with travelling, like, if Manchester were in our conference and they had to travel at in Scottish conference, and they got, well, they are, but I think they come to an agreement. But for the Scottish teams to travel so much, it makes it difficult for them to finance it and stuff. So I think the way they've done it works out a little bit better than it would have, to be honest.
Yeah. Travel, obviously, you're one of the main things. A lot of rumours that the Scottish teams, the three smaller teams without Braid, if you like, played a bit of hardball, saying they wanted a Scottish conference, Sean. My initial feeling when it happened was that it made the league even more skewed in favour of, you know, a team in one of the conferences without the big teams in winning the league. But, you know, if you look at a team like Braehead, I think they've lost four league games against Manchester and gained four against Milton Keynes and four against Guildford. So it's, you know, the only team that's really benefited in terms of the quality of opposition is Coventry. Other than that, probably not a massive difference, or do you think it is a little bit too, or almost forced, if you like, for geography rather than, you know, sporting integrity?
I think it works out a little bit better than the two conference system, purely on the basis that now you actually play, you know, statistically, you do play more games out of conference than you do in conference. It's just that you play the teams in your conference more times than those out of your conference. So I think it does bring about a bit more balance. I think that the league winner is going to come from our conference. Because it is, we are in there with the big boys, but look, we won the league last year, and we did it going all the way against the best teams in the league. And if we were doing it against Coventry, Milton Keynes and Guildford next year and ended up winning the league title, would it mean so much? No, it'd be what we always used to joke about Braid winning the league. You know, there'd be a little asterisk next to it. And, on balance, I think it's probably the best way that they could have gone about it. And other than one whole league, and I don't think that that really is in the best interests of the smaller Scottish teams. And so ultimately, I think the league did the best thing that they could with their one hand tied behind their back, basically.
Yeah, I think overall, I was dead against it, and one of our conferences is never going to win it. But you know, as you said, we're actually playing a higher percentage out of conference next year. The team that's gone from our conference was one of the weaker teams in the league. Well, one of the weakest two teams in the league. So our fixtures, and those of Belfast, Sheffield and Nottingham, haven't got any more difficult. We're not playing each other more or less. And those four teams still produced the top three in the league last year. So I think it would take a lot more than a conference shift to change that, or a conference shift of this style. So, I think probably fair to say it's a good one.
We have lost a couple of easy trips to Coventry, though.
Well, it's crazy. We've got them twice in the league, home and away, once in the Challenge Cup, home and away. We haven't even got a pre-season game against Coventry this year. What is happening?
Baffling.
So, six games against Coventry in total, whereas I think last season we'd have had six games home and six games away. So, we're going to have withdrawal symptoms. Luckily, there's a Papa John's in Milton Keynes as well, though, to...
That'll do. That's all we're there for.
That is the only reason to go to Coventry. I'm really winding up their drummers as well. And along with the conference changes, there was obviously the new roster rules that's been announced. So I think the first time in a little while that the import limit hasn't gone up, stayed at 14. But in some quarters, a controversial move, there's been a limit placed on Brits over the age of 23. So you only have five of those, and then you can make your squad up with three further Brits, 23 or under, if you so wish. Obviously, a look for the Elite League to develop players a little bit more. My gut feeling is that there's going to be a lot of under 23 players. The majority in the league are probably going to be close to 23. If, say, 10 of those turn 24 next year, are there 10 over 23 Brits who are going to be leaving the league? Probably not. So where do they go? And I think in terms of a one season rule, yeah, it's going to probably do a little bit of a job. But Sean, if it sticks around, do you think it would be a good thing, or do you think long term it would actually hamper progression?
I think it would hamper the progression. It's difficult to say whether they'll just sort of keep it as it is and sort of put a freeze on it, so to speak, for the next maybe three seasons. So keep it at that limit until, you know, you're under 23s, it then becomes under 25s, and, you know, for the next couple of years, just to keep, or to keep the birth year as it was. Was it, when was it? If you were born before?
I think, didn't it?
94? Okay, so yeah, if you were born...
If you're born in after 94, I think you're in.
Yeah, so if you keep that date set, and then it allows you to sort of have your, the 23, 24, 25, up until the 26 mark, you know, sort of mark. So I think if they keep that sort of rule for, say, three seasons, four seasons, I think that that'll be the best sort of way to keep it. Because as you said, is there really any point in doing it for one season? I don't think so.
I was looking at it as in the under 23 would stay as under 23. I really like the idea of that age actually stays the same, and just increases for a couple of years before it being assessed. So it gives those players the chance to develop. You know, there's obviously been some teams more than others. You know, Devils haven't really done it so far. We don't know what's coming. But I've looked to sign quite a lot of youth. There's, you know, quite a few young players around the league stepped up from some academies, and quite a few have stepped up from the EPL, which probably mostly, I guess, due to Guildford and Milton Keynes stepping up and financial troubles in teams like Telford, Manchester Phoenix folded towards the end of last season. The EPL's gone, and it's sort of become, well, the NIHL has taken its place, if you like, but probably to a slightly lower standard, you're going to imagine. So there's been a few more players around. Is that something you'd like to see the Devils do, Aaron? Get a few more like proper youngsters in, you know, sort of late teens and try and develop them?
Yes, definitely a thing I'd like to see. You know, we all know that the development for youngsters in the Elite League isn't that great, and most of them, you know, take their opportunity, go to America, go to school, come back and play a few years. But I definitely think it's something we could do. But with most of the youngsters around the league now, they've already been snapped up and already signed to a club. You know, we've got Craig Moore, who's already an unbelievable talent for his age, and we get another 2 years to develop him, and hopefully he could be a brilliant player and stay for the Dells for a very long time. But, you know, there's only a handful, well, I could count on my hands probably the number of really good Brits in our league, and I don't think there's enough of them, and it proves that, because our league is very import orientated, and I think it's a little bit of a disappointment because, well, it's not because GB won gold this year, like, but I would like to see more Brit players come through and more, well, you know, and improve the standard of hockey here so it isn't just import orientated, and, you know, maybe one day we could see the opposite way around when there's more Brits and less imports, but I can't see that happening anytime soon.
Yeah, I think the nature of ice hockey as a minority sport in the UK is always going to mean you need a good level of imports to keep the standard to a certain limit level. But yeah, it would be great to see that the import numbers starting to be able to come down over the next few years. And your mention of your players going abroad as well, so GB winning gold. But I probably for the first time in a while, the GB team had quite a few players who really made their mark, or at least did a lot of their training abroad. You know, players like Liam Stewart, Jack Prince, you know, and others who've spent just a couple of years in the States and, you know, came back the better players for it. It's trying to tie that in with the under 23 rule. If you can find those guys who are over there now doing qualifications while they're playing and snap them up while they're still young and, you know, try and develop them on in that way. Josh Bash did the same as well, didn't he, Sean?
Josh Bash went abroad for a couple of years, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, you just think like when we signed him as a youngster, he was a lot more ready to play hockey and play minutes than the guys that you sign up through your whatever the leagues under us have been over the last sort of 10, 15 years. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on, guys going out there and, you know, when they're coming back. So with those roster rules in mind, obviously it's probably changed the recruitment plans of some of the teams in the league. So, you know, obviously we'll be discussing that as we run through, and you know, there's examples in both of the new teams in Milton Keynes and Guildford, who I think you could probably say have benefited from the limit on over 23 Brits. Starting with Milton Keynes, who've picked up Jonathan Boxhill from Belfast. I think a really good signing for them. Belfast can only have five. They decided it was Boxhill they didn't want. But then I think the biggest thing from a Devils perspective of Milton Keynes is that they're becoming a bit of Cardiff Old Boys. Denny Kearney and Carl Hudson have all signed there for the coming season. And you know, Milton Keynes really seems to be putting together quite a strong roster, Sean.
Yeah, they do. As you said, it's a bit of the Devils alumni going in there. I think that Doucette is a great signing for them. I think that Doucette maybe underachieved last year with us. I think we were looking for him to produce a bit more, and he sort of dried up. He was very streaky, but he wasn't then getting rewarded with power play time and sort of all that sort of thing. Which Doucette's a player who needs to be loved. You need to show him a bit of love and put your faith in him. And I think going to a team like Milton Keynes, where he won't be the go-to guy, he can just go and play his hockey, he can play power play time and all that sort of thing. He'll be a perfect fit, I think, for Milton Keynes. And Kearney, I like what I saw of him when he was here. I really, really did like him. And although I don't think he had enough time to sort of go out there and throw himself around enough to grab a roster spot. And a guy like Hudson, we talked about, he was solid for 2 years. Went over to France to try something new, and has come back over here to ply his trade yet again. And if he has, if he performs like he did with us for 2 years, then he'll be a great, great signing for Milton Keynes. You mentioned a guy like Boxhill there. That's a solid Brit there. I think the last couple of years in Belfast, they were great. They were delighted to have him from Nottingham. He's obviously moved on now, and I just think Milton Keynes are building a great, great side in terms of their British players as well. Obviously, they have the GB head coach there, which does give them a bit of an advantage with poaching guys like that. You know, they got a guy like Lewis Hook there, Glenn Billing, a couple of young Brits there, and James Griffin, and they're gonna cause some upsets this year, I think.
Yeah, and in terms of, you know, probably attracting crowds, you know, signing players from the top two teams last year, you know, in Cardiff and Belfast, always going to help. And, you know, a bit of a bums on seats player in Matt Nickerson as well, Aaron, who, you know, probably not the most, well, definitely won't be the most skilled guy on the ice, you know, just from the guys that we've just discussed. But, you know, someone wherever he's gone, he's always proven a bit of a fan favourite. So, you know, should at the very least help with attendances.
Yeah, definitely. Like you say, he's a bums on seats guy. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He plays for the team. He does pretty much everything you want him to. He's just, for me, he's just a little bit too slow for the big ice. But if you pair him up with a good player like they did last year when he was paired with Walser, you know, he didn't do a bad job at all. Didn't put up quite a few points considering. But yeah, I think he's a decent sign-in. He'll put bums on seats, and he's you know, for guys like you said, he is what you're looking for with protection. So it's not a bad signing at all.
Yeah. Milton Keynes, you know, already looking quite strong with the, you know, obviously signing still to go. The other new boys, Guildford Flames, said about both teams benefiting from the under 23. Guildford, Ben Davis, became available from Coventry, you know, potentially around a similar issue. So they've snapped at Ben Davis. They've also picked up British defenceman Kevin Phillips, who stepped back up from the EPL after a few years. With Guildford, was he, Sean, or is he?
Yeah, I think he has been with Guildford, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a re-signing, but new to the, well, a return to the Elite League. And probably notable signings in terms of the Stuarts from Coventry, Liam and Brian, both going to Guildford. You know, Liam Stuart, a decent player, Sean, but, you know, obviously does take up an import slot. And, you know, Brian Stuart's been, you know, probably the most talked about goalie in the Elite League, definitely over the last 3 years, but you could potentially say in its history.
Yeah, I don't think Brian Stuart will ever be forgotten, and that's not for his netminder, and it'll be for the performance at the 2017 playoff weekend, where his team didn't even qualify for the 8, let alone the 4, but we won't go into too much detail about that.
He enjoyed a couple of beers, I think we can say.
Liam Stuart, good signing. I think, as you said, it's a shame for him that he does take up that import slot. But yeah, I think with Guildford, they've put together a good little core. They've got some Elite League experience in there. Benny Davis is a very experienced British player. Liam Stuart, as we said. Kevin Phillips steps back up. I think they've got a couple of their guys returning from their EPL days, which I think is one of the things which might harm them a little bit. I think they're putting maybe a little bit too much faith in those guys coming back. But then they have shown some intent as well. You know, they did sign a guy like Mike Ratchick from Sheffield, who performed well last year. I really, really rated him. And unfortunately, he's had to pull out due to personal reasons. But, you know, at least the intent is there. The Guildford are going out and they're looking to try and make their first year in the Elite League a successful one.
Yeah, I think Mike Ratchick was announced quite early and, you know, it was a bit of a show of intent, I thought. You know, as you said, a really good signing. So disappointing for them. But it'd be good to see him keep targeting that sort of level, because I think since that time, they've probably been eclipsed a little bit by Milton Keynes in terms of the players that they've picked up. Yeah. So yeah, I think at the moment Guildford are looking probably the weaker of the newer teams, but obviously you're still quite early in the off season, and who knows who they're going to bring in to round their roster out. So looking at their new conference mates, quite a lot of change in Manchester. A new ownership group have picked them up from Silver Blades. I think, I don't know if it was announced, but there was rumours beforehand that Ryan Finity was pulling together a consortium to buy out the Storm. And after the consortium was announced, Ryan Finity was announced head coach. So I think it's probably safe to say there is some involvement there at least. Obviously moving on from Brayhead, and he's coming, Aaron, and you know, very quickly announced Jay Rosehill and Mike Hammond moving with him. You know, a couple of interesting signings there for Manchester.
Yeah, I think they've recruited really well. Jay Rosehill, you know, ex-NHL, another guy who can put bums on seats and protect your smaller guys. Mike Hammond had a decent year. They've also re-signed the likes of Paul Swindler, who I think is a brilliant British player. Dallas Earhart, another great player. Mike Clemente in goal, fantastic, and one of the best players from the team last year, Matt Bissonnette. I wouldn't mind if we picked him up, to be honest, but they've signed brilliantly, and you can tell Ryan Finity is looking for intent and probably won't do as well as he did with Brayhead in looking for title spots, but I definitely think he's hunting for trophies this year, and with his conference the way it is, I can see him doing pretty good, pretty well.
I think, to be fair, he didn't do particularly well looking for trophies with Brayhead either, if we take out the Gardner conference, but there we go. One disappointment, I think, for Manchester is going to be the announcement of Jack Prince's retirement. You know, a solid, good Brit, a really good season last year. You put up a few points. You seem to bag quite a few goals against us through the season. But yeah, there's had an offer outside of hockey, you're going to assume, and he's moved on. And that's going to be a difficult gap to fill for a big point-scoring British forward. You know, they're not ten a penny. So yeah, a gap there that Ryan Finity's going to do well to fill, I think. Mm. And rounding off the new conference, it's got a name, but for the life of me, I can't remember it, is the Coventry Blaze. They've kept the one Stuart that I think if you polled Coventry fans out of Liam, Brian and Danny, the least popular to keep for the season would have been Danny Stuart. but the one that they've got is Danny Stuart, so we'll see what happens. I personally don't think the team he signed last year was very much of a Danny Stuart type team. And you've got to wonder how much of that recruitment was done before he was announced as head coach. So, you know, I think it'd be interesting to see him have a full season, have a full off season to recruit a team. And he's picked up a couple of decent players so far, Sean, with what looks to be a good replacement for Brian Stuart in Kevin Nastiuk, and guys like Luke Ferreira and Ryan Dingle from around the league in terms of, you know, strengthening the squad.
Yeah, a guy like Ferreira is a good Brit to pick up. Definitely, obviously, he's been he's a casualty of that rule, I think, with Sheffield, and they need to replace a guy like Ben Davis. They feel that Ferreira is their guy over Ben Davis, and it's a good move for them. You mentioned Ryan Dingle as well. I think he was arguably the best player up in Fife, and obviously Danny Stuart knows him from his time there, so they've grabbed him in that regard. And as you said, Kevin Nastiuk coming from DEL2. Played a couple of games in the DEL the year before, so he's got some good experience. And yeah, they look to me to be sort of picking up where they went drastically wrong last year. They weren't much of a team last year at all. And as you said, they didn't look like a lot of Danny Stuart signings. And I think that the couple of players that they did sign that, you know, you might have kept for next year, those guys have moved on in signing Almeida. Matt Marquardt, obviously, we'll go into a little bit later. I'm unsure on Robin Bergman, but he's another one that I thought was very good for them. But I think they just had a bit of an identity crisis in Coventry. They kind of forgot what they are. They're not this big budget team, but, you know, they're not the league champions anymore. And I think a lot of their fans and the organisation feel that they should still be playing that way. But I think their identity is that they're basically what the Devils used to be in the tent. You know, they got to play a nasty, gritty game and make their building their own and make it a hard place to go. And I feel like Danny Stuart is the perfect person to do that, but he did not have the team to do it last year.
Yeah, I think that's about right. One thing, as soon as the new conferences were announced, I thought this is brilliant for Coventry. They've lost You know, they've halved the number of league games against, you know, the four teams in our conference. They've picked up Manchester, who, you know, a decent team, finished above them last year. And the two newbies who are likely to be whipping boys. But, you know, now that the signings have started, I think Coventry are probably in for still a tough season. I think that's going to be quite an evenly matched conference. And, you know, I think it's going to be a real battle there to see who picks up the first new conference title. And I think it's just going to be called the new conference. That's what they should go with. Get that printed on the trophy. Hopefully the league wouldn't misspell it. So from there, we'll look at the Scottish Gardner Conference. You're starting with the Braehead Clan, who've had, you know, as alluded to when we talk about Ryan Infinity, you know, underachieved for a few years, I think, especially with the conference system, but like took underachieving to a new level for them last year. A really poor season. They saw attendances drop on the back of it. Another team that really struggled to get any sort of team spirit, any sort of cohesion. And, you know, Ryan Finity's been replaced by another young coach in John Tripp, but, you know, vastly experienced. Played a lot of AHL, NHL games, and played DL and DL2, and has been head coach in DL2 for a year and a bit. So, but still quite early in the recruitment for them. Brennan Brooks has come back from Fife, a couple of re-signings, Sean, but, you know, it's still early days to see how Braehead are going to be shaping up. And, you know, I think their fans are getting a little bit tetchy about it on Twitter, that the lack of signing so far.
Yeah, there seems to be a bit of a crisis up there, that whenever they've made announcements, it's been that they've had players move on. They made announcements about, obviously, Manchester with Rosehill and Hammond, and Braehead have since announced the departure of Scott Arson, and
Matt Keith's not coming back, I think.
Matt Keith was announced, I think, before the season finished. Scott Pitt moving on to Pastures New, one of the top point scorers in the league last year. So yeah, their fans are getting a little bit restless, and we don't really know how they're shaping up, to be quite honest with you. And know that they've obviously got their Brit pack there, they're about nailed up. You know, got guys like Zach Sullivan, Craig Peacock, their backup in Gary Russell. So yeah, this it's all a bit quiet up in Castle Clan, as they like to call it.
Such a horrible thing.
Pre-mark, if you, myself and Paul.
Yes. Primark's the place to go when you're in in Braehead. I can understand the worry about lack of signings, but stressing about losing players after the season they had, I don't think I'd be too worried at seeing a number of those players moving on, because they another team that needs a bit of a ship out and to try and start again. So it looks like that's what they're going to be doing with their new coach. Another team that's getting a lot of change for varying reasons is Dundee Stars. They had a fans event not long after the conference changes announced, saying that they're moving to sign single guys because they're cheaper to house. And then had the enforced change of Mark Lefebvre moving on to, he's got himself an assistant coach gig in America. So you're a really good opportunity for him, but they've picked up Omar Pasha as head coach and general manager. So a lot of jobs for Pasha. Interesting to announce, Aaron, for you, that you're looking to sign single young guys because they're going to be cheaper, or do you think it's good that they're being upfront and honest with their fans?
Well, it's not something that I think a professional hockey team should brag about, to be honest. You know, if it's cheaper, it's cheaper, but, you know, I don't think it's a really professional thing. You know, you're an elite league team, you're top level in your country, and you tell people things like that. It's not very professional in my eyes, but you know, it's not something I would like to hear if I was a fan of Dundee Stars, put it that way. You know, hockey's a family sport, so why can't families play there?
Very true, and you know, it's led to one notable departure and arrival in Cardiff. And yeah, I don't think it's something that would be filling me with confidence. It's not to say that young single guys are not going to be good at hockey, but you think you're narrowing your market quite considerably based solely on circumstances, which obviously is linked to cost, which is to do your market. It just, it's not something that would encourage me to renew my season ticket, I don't think. And it's not like they've got a huge number of your regular fans up there. Is that going to help? Looking at the team, they've picked up a couple of decent Brits. Jordan Cowney's made the move up. Probably an under 23 Brit, I think, Jordan Cowney. And Adam Harding, who after quite a long spell in the EPL, had a really good year back up in the elite with Manchester last year. But I think a big loss for them is going to be Joe Fallon in net, has gone. A good replacement in Travis Fullerton from Edinburgh, Sean, but, you know, Joe Fallon was one of the, probably one of the, especially on paper, one of the best netminders in the league last year. And as good as Fullerton is, he's probably not going to keep him in as many games as he did, with potentially a worse team in front of him as well.
No, but he's pretty single.
Very true, and that's the important thing. Is there going to be a case of, you know, if you get with someone, if you get a bit serious, they're going to be cutting players mid-season? It's a recipe for a bit of Love Island going on up in Dundee. If you did want to bag yourself a hockey player, Dundee is also the place to be next season, just for anyone that's so inclined. I'm going to move on from Dundee quickly before something said that offends somebody. Edinburgh. What is going on in Edinburgh, Sean? Or announcements that keep being good and exciting, and it's quite... I can't even remember the guys. They're a coach with masses of experience at the very highest level in Dimitri Christich.
Christich sounds about right, yeah.
Yes, we'll go with that. And they've managed Pavel Vorobyev as well. That's definitely not right.
Vorobyev.
There we go. An academy in Russia. What's going on in Edinburgh, Sean?
And Darius Kasparaitis, one of their lead scouts. What a just loss for words. Just a bizarre, bizarre organisation. And it just never gets boring with the Caps, does it? There's always something going on in Edinburgh. It must just be a nightmare to be a fan up there. But in fairness, they're making good strides. They're looking to build their academy. I think the under 23 rule is one which, for them, you know, next year Edinburgh are going to definitely, you know, look to be running four lines. You'd like to think, getting the kids on the ice a bit more regularly. Guys like, you know, Jay King, Tyler Plews, guys like that have obviously played regular minutes through the years in the Elite League, and they'll be able to play regular minutes at a higher level again this year, and hopefully the kids coming up can replace them in their minimal ice time. So, but the Russian academy just makes me smirk every time we talk about it, because it's just bizarre. But as I said, it's good to see them making strides. They've signed a good coach, an experienced coach, keeping Vorobyev. Given the interview that he did with a website that went online earlier, I think it was last month, was quite interesting, but they've managed to keep him. They kept one of their best players. Their Brits are coming thick and fast now, their announcements, as we said. And they are making links to try and spot guys like with those scouts. So I just hope that they sustain it and it keeps going, and that we don't have a case like last year, the year before, where they were just cutting guys before Christmas because they just couldn't sustain it. And I hope they make more of an effort off the ice. If they make the effort off the ice that they're making on it at the moment, then we're going to be in for a surprise with Edinburgh. And hopefully, I hope we do.
Yeah, it's about time that we had a strong Edinburgh team. And another site we did mention, named Mike Zolaran, who comes in with an impressive pedigree.
Yeah, he looks fantastic. You know, he played in the ECHL last year, and he looks absolutely brilliant. I think he played for the Erie Otters, which we all know is one of the better teams in the OHL. You know, likes of Conor McDavid come from a team. I'm not comparing him to Conor McDavid. I'm just saying that's the stature of the Erie Otters. He put up decent points today. If you take his last season in the ECHL, 76 points in 67 games with plus 32 of that. That is some pretty incredible stats. You know, I don't even think likes of Joey Haddad and players like that have points like that.
Eclipses Joey Haddad. He was the top scoring rookie in ECHL last year, 11th overall in points. Yeah, so that's a good signing, I think, anywhere in this league, to be honest. And he's on to Edinburgh, so.
My only downfall for him, though, is that he's really small. So I think the way to beat a player like him is be a little bit physical. But if he can still put points up like in our league, then, you know, Edinburgh have recruited brilliantly there.
But you mentioned about his size, and you look at a guy that they signed last year in I think it was Milan, and he was a great little player.
Yeah, but he didn't put points up. He didn't put many points up, though, did he?
Yeah, he put a few.
To be fair, there probably wasn't a lot of points to go around, so it's relative. And I think whoever they sign looks like they're going to be playing on a better team next year. So yeah, I think that's definitely a good signing. Rounding off Scotland really quickly with Fife, they've kept Todd Utiami as coach, but they've only got 6 players announced so far. So very, very early days. They're very difficult to draw any sort of conclusions on what type of team they're going to be and the quality they've got. They've picked up a couple of new players from ECHL and re-signed 4. So it's going to be a while now, I think, before we can really see what's happening with Fife. So that rounds out Scotland, and we move on to Division 1, as we will keep calling it in an arrogant way. I'm sure our 8 other rival teams would call it. But hey, they're in the lower divisions. They're always going to be jealous. Belfast first. Another team to have a change of head coach. You know, quite a lot of changes, actually, at head coach around the league this year. Derek Walser moving on. After another trophy-less season, you know, the longest run Belfast have ever gone as an organisation without trophies, and you know, being replaced with Mr. Belfast Giants as head coach in Adam Keefe, a guy whose ice time definitely dropped over the last couple of years. I think his impact last year was by far the lowest it's been in a Belfast shirt, Sean, and probably about the right time for him to step up onto the bench if he's going to.
Yeah, I think so. You know, you look at Belfast last year; they were ultimately disappointed with not taking home a title. And I know that Derek Walser wasn't keen on playing another year. And I think last year he was unbelievable on the ice. And I think it was the perfect time. I think they were looking for Keith to sort of step into that role in any case. And if Walser wasn't returning, to save getting a guy in for 2 years before Keith was maybe ready to take on the head coach role, they might as well just get it going now, because he is Mr. Belfast Giants, as you said, no one knows more about hockey in that city than Adam Keefe. He's done it for so long. He loves the city, he loves the club, and I think that if you have people like that driving it forward, then you're only going to get good things. And I hope they don't get many good things, but you know, I can see where they're coming from in terms of that recruitment.
They've today got a good thing in Jonathan Furland. You know, looks to be a player coming with an excellent pedigree. Played a lot of EBL hockey with Vienna, and you know, really good points. You know, so looks to be a good signing. But they have lost David Rutherford to the upset of absolutely nobody else in the league, I'm sure. one of the most irritating players that the league's seen in the last couple of years. He's announced his retirement. What that means for brand DJ, whatever number it was, I don't know. Will the app keep going in his new life? I don't know. Nottingham, who have had hell of a clear out, have so far only re-signed 3 imports from last season. They have re-signed Evan Mosey after a year away in the AHL with Rockford. But, you know, interesting response to another team, Aaron, with having a big clear out after what they consider to be a disappointing season.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of the way to go in the terms of, if we don't do well, it seems that every other team is clearing out and trying to improve best they can. You know, Nottingham kept most of their Brit pack, if not all of it, and other signings they've made seem to be quite decent. And I think the fact that they won the Continental Cup last year made sign-ins a little bit easier this year, so who knows? As you said off camera, you can't judge a team until they've played, but they look a decent team, and I hope they're not good, because we got to play them quite a lot, but I hope we don't struggle against them like we did the last 2 years, so.
Yeah, even when they've struggled, they've definitely had our number last year overall. Another team with CHL hockey to look for as well, Sean, and yeah, they're starting the season how they finished last year with a first choice goalie, a British backup who's third choice, and an import second choice goalie to share some of the ice time. You know, an interesting move in the Elite League. The only team I think that I can remember to have started a season like that. One of the only teams to finish a season with it like it as well.
Yeah, like you said, they have got that CHL hockey to offer to the import, and it is an attraction. There's no doubt about it. Some of the quality they brought in, they look to be a very, very good roster. In terms of the netminders, I personally think it's a great way to. I think it's a great thing to do. If you're going to go with an import goalie, in any case, you're not going to sit one on the bench unless you've got injured forward. So, why not? Why not? I don't see the harm in it. If you've got the money, it cuts your budget somewhere else. But yeah, if that's the way you want to go about it, then you've got a good import goalie through the year, and it gives you opportunity to give your starter some rest. Hockey is, you know, even at the NHL level, where the regular season isn't the prize. You know, those guys split the season purely because it's such a draining game, even for goalies. And your goalie's the only guy out there for all of the 60 minutes. And I think hockey is going the way where you can't just have a guy play a whole season. It's just getting too intense, and it's too fast, and gone are the days where you can get by with a goalie playing. You know, you look at a guy like Bouncy last year, he missed a couple with injury, but if he played every game last year, you're playing, what, 52 league games, a couple of cup games. You're playing in the range of 70 games, yeah. So you're looking at a full NHL season, and it's getting too much. And so I can understand where Nottingham are coming from, and they're the first ones to do it, and I wouldn't be surprised to see other teams going the same route in the next couple of years.
Yeah, could be ahead of the curve in that one. And finishing with the other teams, with Sheffield, who, you know, we're still in the first half of July, and they're finished. They've signed every player they're going to sign. Interestingly, given that Paul Thompson did an interview saying that the one benefit of not having CHL would mean that he could wait to get all of his players in to wait till training camp's finished in America before making his signings, but obviously decided to deviate from that. Picked up a couple of players from around the league in Scott Arson from Brayhead, Matt Marquardt from Coventry. And obviously, sort of the big loss that they had this year was Guillaume Debienne, who'd already signed back. So, you know, one of those heartbeat-type players. They got quite a sweet, like a Scandinavian or European feel, at least, yet again, Aaron. But for you, have Sheffield made much of an upgrade, any of an upgrade, or you know, do you think they're markedly better than last year?
I don't think they're as impressive on paper as they were last year. You know, they've got a good goalie in Irving Masterkov, so we know that. Other than that, I don't really see, you know, they got John Armstrong, Colton Ferretta, Robert Dowd can all put points up. Levi Nelson scored that. Let's not talk about it. Shut up,
Well, then I was about to say it, Aaron.
Yeah, I was about to say it, but I will not. Matthew Roy, you know, top point scorer. They've got Liam Kirk, who's an up-and-coming player and looks really, really good. But other than that, all the new guys, I don't feel very impressed by any of them, if I'm honest. Zach Fitzgerald is getting old and can't even sit down on the bench anymore. So how much of a role will he have next year? I just can't see him doing as well as they have done in the past. And counting their forwards, they've only got 14, and three of those are under 23. So how much ice time are they going to have? Are they going to run four lines?
Interesting, especially, you know, just on the point of the 14 forwards, one of them is Brady Ramsey as well, who, you know, there could be like a gem hidden without the points, but doesn't seem to offer much other than a willingness to drop the gloves from what he's done so far. So, yeah, I think in terms of depth, it's an interesting one because they've got a lot of youth who are prospects, Sean, but, you know, is it a team that's going to be playing four lines regularly?
Well, I think I listened to an interview with that Dave Sims had with Paul Thompson earlier this summer, and it seems to be that the situation is that Liam Kirk last year, whereas he was playing his regular hockey with the Steel Dogs, will be full time with the Steelers this year, so I'd expect to see him a lot more. Overall, they've kept a solid core, like you said, Levi Nelson, Matthew Waugh, and they've added a little bit of, as you say, Paul, that sort of Scandinavian feel. I think they've got a Finn, a couple of Swedes in there. But yeah, I'm reluctant to say that they don't look as impressive as last year, but that may be what they want and that they're going to come good, and you just can't ever write Sheffield off.
I think it's safe to say they're going to be there or thereabouts, and I think it's even safer to say that if things don't go well near the start of the season, Paul Thompson will not take any of the blame on his own shoulders and will quite happily gas an import or two to try and cover it over. I think the one thing with signing European players, at least in my case, I always find it a lot more difficult to judge sort of the quality of players based on stats, which is a difficult thing to do anyway. But I think with the AHL, ECHL, you know what you're looking at, you know the level of it, but there's, you know, when you've played at different levels throughout Europe, it's always difficult to necessarily compare people season on season, where, you know, quality goes up and down, you know, wage caps come in and all sorts of stuff. So it's always a bit difficult. And you know, Sheffield have got a guy in Jerry Anderson, who, if anyone's going to know how good guys are, you know, in that part of the world, then it's surely going to be him. So, yeah, I don't think they've massively improved, but I really don't expect them not to be there or thereabouts come the last couple of weeks of the season. Mm. And now it's the important stuff. It's time to talk about Cardiff. We've spoken about other teams for a lot longer than I think we meant to, but that's just the in-depth type of team that we are. So we'll talk about Cardiff in at least as much depth. And you know, there's probably not a huge amount to talk about given so far, you know, three new signings come in. We've got a few departures, but a lot of re-signings, as you'd expect from a team that, you know, won the league, you know, by a decent margin in the end, and you know, also picked up the Challenge Cup and the conference, so three out of the four trophies on offer. Looking at the departures that have been announced so far, obviously we've discussed Denny Kearney and Guillaume Doucette going to Milton Keynes. David Ryan from the fourth line. Oh, it rhymed, didn't mean it to. has gone back to Zagreb, where we signed him from. You know, he's, you know, made a home in Croatia, you know, for himself and his family. So, you know, a good move for him there, you've got to think. And the definitely the most disappointing, I think, probably for all of us, definitely myself, the announcement that Chris Culligan has made the decision to retire. I think made even more galling when it was revealed he'd already re-signed in the off-season. He's one of the first guys, you know, to have put pen to paper. We're just waiting to announce him. And you've got to think the injuries that he's suffered the last couple of years have just, you know, taken their toll, and you know, he's made the decision to make a career outside of hockey. Probably, I can't think of another player that we've had in my time watching, or potentially anywhere in the league, who's been able to play defence and forward to an equally high standard. Just a really big gap to fill, Sean.
I was in work when the news broke, and I found out via a WhatsApp message from yourself, and I genuinely thought you were pulling my leg. It was a big shock to the system, and I'm devastated to lose a guy like Chris Culligan. Just gave it everything, whether he was at, and there was no consistency to what we asked him to do, whether he's been D, forward, PK, PP, anything. The guy did it, and just did it to the best of his ability every time, and you can't ask any more than that. He was the coach's player of the year before last, the player's player this year, so you know he's a good guy in the room. We'll go through a wall for you as a coach, and it's difficult to get guys like that, especially with, I think Kelly had more skill than people give him credit for. I think his skill set was very high. He was a very good skater. Did he really get over that knee injury a couple of years back? We won't know, but yeah, devastated to lose him, and can only say thank you to him for the service that he gave us, because he was an unbelievable guy and scored some world-class goals for us as well, which sort of gave us a lot of some airtime on a lot of major networks. So cheers for that.
That goal against Coventry being obviously the most notable one, but you know, a huge part of the new Devils under the new regime over the last 3 years. And yeah, Sean said thank you for all the time and the minutes he's put in. They're the only departures announced. I think from what's coming out of the club, I think it's probably safe to say that Patrick Bordelot also won't be coming back, but not been confirmed anywhere. But all the news stories and things about new signings and stuff is pointing towards that. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with Chris Jones and Luke Pigott, who obviously victims again of the under 23 over 23 British player limit. Devils, as we'll come on to, but are at 5 over 23 Brits already. So unless they're signing us back at Brits, you're going to think there's not a space for them in the Devils squad this year. So, a few players that have left from last season, but we'll get cracking with those who are back. And in net, we've returned the British pair of Ben Bounds and Tom Murdy. Some discussion, Aaron, as to whether Murdy, after his excellent showings when he did play, would be moving on to find a starting gig. But assuming you're happy that he's back in Devils colours next year.
Yeah, how could you not be happy with Thomas Murdy signing? Best back up in the league. You could say he won us the league last year. When Bounds was injured, he stepped in, played some fantastic games. He's probably one of the fastest netminders I've seen go side to side. If he was a little bit taller, I do think he could challenge Browns for that number one spot, and they could play every other game, and we would be absolutely fine with that. I did expect him to move on, though, with how good he is. He could have got a starting gig in 90% of the teams in this elite league and could have won them games comfortably. So I'm glad we kept him, and hopefully him and Bounds can split the games a little bit more even. And so Bounds gets more of a rest, and we got him for that stretch of the season that, could have been very costly to us this year. So it's fantastic signing, in my opinion, one of the best we've made.
In no disrespect, I realise that we just started talking about our backup goalie over the re-signing of GB number one and the league winning netminder in Ben Bounds, Sean. But a fantastic goalie pairing to have, and as Aaron said, it would be really good to see the minutes shared even more next season.
Yeah, without a doubt, a perfect tandem for us in my eyes. You got a guy like Ben Bounds who has backstopped us to. How many championships is it now? Is it three championships?
Three major trophies, yeah.
Yeah, three major championships in 3 years. One of the British netminders to win the elusive Elite League, which was never going to happen. And a guy like Tom Murdy, I know they get on very well on a personal level. And Murdy was brilliant last year, as you both said. We came in cold. When called upon, won us some unbelievably big games. You've got to look at the ones in Sheffield, the game up in Dundee, in the triple header, all sorts of situations he played in. And I think next year he deserves a bit more ice time. I think the other great thing about him is that he does push Ben Bounds to be the best, even better, because Bouncy knows that Murdy can play with the best of them and win games, and he's going to push him, and I think that's the biggest thing, is that he pushes our best player to be even better.
Yeah, can't say any more than that. Looking at the defence, first Mark Richardson, there's literally nothing that you can't say enough good things about Mark Richardson. Likewise, I think we've probably said them all hundreds of times, he's just Mr. Consistent. You're getting one of the best British defencemen you can sign.
Yep.
And I'm going to put him in as defenseman. I'm going to talk about a re-signing and a new player in Josh Batch, sort of just recently announced as being back. And Craig Moore, who we've picked up from Dundee. Aaron alluded to earlier, he's played big minutes in Dundee. He's, you know, won an A for him last year as well. So as an under 23 player, that's got to be a good sign. I'm not expecting both to play on defence. I think Sean, it's going to be interesting to see whether, do we see one of them play, you assume fourth line? Do we see both of them play fourth line? And you have another two imports come in to run with five import D.
Well, I'm not building the team, so in all honesty, I don't know.
Well, I was quite confident that you wouldn't know. I thought.
It is really difficult to say because, as you said, obviously Craig Moore played defence and forward for Dundee and at a reasonably good level. Batch maybe didn't have his best year. I know he had a couple of games where he was benched and didn't see any ice time at all. So,
Andrew Lord from the summit signing announcement thingy did say, you know, that they're looking at, you know, where he's going to play next year, which I thought was quite interesting. I thought, you know, Batch had settled in his D, and, you know, maybe that's another sign that after, you know, a season where he was benched in some quite big games, that the club are looking at changing that around. And if we're looking at Bordeleau not coming back, you know, going very hypothetical, if Batch is on your fourth line, is that a good enough replacement for that toughness in a makeup of a line, do you think?
Yeah, and not only that, he's he did score, probably scored our best goals last year. You know, a couple of our good looking goals were scored by Josh Batch when he was just making a rush up the wing or that sort of thing. So yeah, I wouldn't be upset to see Batchy play forward at all. And I think if anything, it would bring a bit of confidence back to him. I think maybe playing D, but you know, he's not the fastest skater in the world, but I tend to think that makes him want to sort of play his angles a bit more carefully. He could go in, he's a big guy, but wanted to be physical because he's a big guy. I think he sort of plays his angles a bit. And I just think that the switch up to forward might do him some good in terms of confidence. And I think he'd be a big asset to us up there.
Yeah, you're big, hard hitting. Well, British players in general, whether he's playing forward or defence is interesting. I think in terms of confidence as well, that if you're having a bit of a bad game as a forward and you're playing fourth line, it's not the end of the world. Maybe you just make sure that you pair him with a slightly more responsible defensive pairing for the game. But when you're one of only two D-men, your mistakes do stand out that little bit more. It's just the nature of the beast that when you're playing back there, it gets magnified if you're having a bad game. Maybe coaches think that they can't take the chance on you, and you know, could be why we saw Batchy not icing as much as we've come to expect over the last, God, feels like forever that he's been here. He's got to be a good 6-7 years as a Cardiff Devil now. So, and a guy who's got I think it's good to see him back after a bad season, and hope that he'll bounce back and push on, because I think every year up until this season he's got better and better. So, hopefully this year was a blip and we get back to seeing the best of Josh Batch.
Getting back in a GB shirt as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's on top of that, being dropped from GB has got to be a massive motivator for him to come out absolutely flying next year, wherever he's playing on the ice.
Just a quick one on that, Paul. If Batch does play forward next year, do you think that hinders him in terms of playing for GB?
Massively, yes.
He'll be an asset to us if he plays forward, but then does it limit his potential of playing for GB because there's not many British defencemen out there? Do you know what I mean? Is that conflict going to be part of where he plays this year?
I think in his mind, how much... You, Andrew Lord isn't going to just make a decision to move a player you imagine without talking to them. But then if he's adamant that it's best for the team that he plays forward, then, Lord's going to put the Cardiff Devils above Josh Batch's GB chances. So it's an interesting one. But, and not just in terms of there are more there are less defensemen. I think the role of a big, hard-hitting power forward in international ice hockey is not massive. You know, from watching GB, you do get the bigger players, but they're usually the faster skilled guys who can throw hits rather than, which Josh Batch is, but you think is how he's going to play as that forward. If he fills a fourth line power forward role, then you've really got to think, is there even a space in GB if he's the best at that? Anyway, so yeah, I think that's a really interesting point actually there. Moving on to the defence, onto the imports, another couple of re-signings. Gleeson Fournier, you're one of the best skaters, I think, in the league. And the Red Army Roundup Player of the Year is back in Mark Lewis. Two solid re-signings there, Aaron. Happy to see both back, are you?
Yeah, very, very happy to see those two back. You know, both very mobile D-men, both can score points. You know, Mark Lewis scored probably two of the most important goals of our Challenge Cup campaign. I'm one in, well, three of the most important goals in our Challenge Cup campaign. So he's a keeper, no doubt. Gleeson Fournier, best skater in the Elite League. Great transition in, great shot. There's not a lot of bad things you can say about either of them. You know, and just looking at Mark Lewis on Elite Prospects as well, we could, you know, he's another guy that could play up in a forward role. You've done it before. I'm not saying we've signed him for that specific reason, but he can do it. So, you know, this balance of his team is gonna be undetermined until we actually see them on the ice and how they line up, and we've got the options to mix it up as well. But yeah, Mark Lewis and Fournier, both fantastic players, and you know, our D last year was amazing, so if we can keep hold as many players from the D, I'll be extremely happy, even though we've already got possibly one change. So,
A really good point on Lewis's versatility there. Yeah, we talked about the difficulty in replacing Chris Culligan, and you know, I don't think any of those three players are going to be able to do both to the standard. But I think having three players that can do both give you a lot of options, and each player would offer something different as a forward and a defenseman. So, you know, whilst we've lost the versatility of Chris Culligan, you know, we have got it in the team, and hopefully, you know, that will, you know, make up for that loss somehow. And the last player on defence, new player to the league, in Drew Parrish, Sean, guy who's come in with a really good CV, and, you know, as Aaron alluded to, potentially points to the departure of one or even both of the Hothams.
Yeah, looks to be a bit of a scoring defenceman. Big guy at 6'4", right-hand shot. Played last year in the EBEL and the Allsvenskan, so played at a good standard. And as I said, like that offensive upside to him means that it probably does spell the end for one of the Hotham brothers. Very interested to see what he brings, because you look at his North American statistics and they're reasonable, and he's come over to Europe and played well in the DEL and the Allsvenskan. So I think I really like the look of this guy, Drew Paris. I think I'm really looking forward to seeing him play. I think especially on the Olympic ice surface, he's going to be a big asset, given his size as well. He's a big guy. And I think he'll probably suit our style right down to the ground. It's just interesting to see who he slots in for.
Yeah, and you said you're a big guy. You know, he skates well, but he is a big guy. And maybe the incidents with, you know, Bams getting run towards the end of the season, you know, maybe a few other goalies getting run by maybe the same team, possibly the same player on the same team. you know, is that a bit of the, is that a bit of, you know, what's the word? A deterrent, you know, a deterrent, not just having someone on a forward you can bring on, but, you know, a big guy on defence who can stand up and protect the goalie when he's on the ice.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of the double up. You know, you got Mark Lewis in there, but then he's your big defenseman. So I think you'll have Paris as sort of 1-2 punch, so to speak.
Yeah, excellent. And start looking at the forwards now. The last of our over 23 Brits who we've announced is Matt Myers, you know, another another guy that we sang the praises of a lot last year. You talk about how important he was in coming back. I think we really noticed the year that we lost him back to Nottingham, the difference he made, and you know, just his solid play, his grittiness in and around the crease, and his face-off percentage. You know, big part of this championship last year. So you know, great to see Matt Myers back as a Devil yet again. And looking at the imports, starting with the player coach Andrew Lord. Interestingly, I don't know if he's been announced, but I feel like I've read it somewhere. Sean, you'll have to correct me. But is at the very least been implied that he's not going to be filling that, you know, top six, you know, the top two line slot that he had last year, and maybe looking to play himself down the lines a little bit more. And in which case, is signing if you're looking at him being outside your top six.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think that Andrew Lord is still a quality player. He's a big, aggressive guy. He brings us a spark when we need it and just brings some energy into the lineup. I think he plays a real hard-nosed game, plays with his heart on his sleeve, and that's what I love about Andrew Lord as a player. And yeah, I am glad he's in the lineup. We did talk last year, the year before, about how he should, you know, maybe start suiting up and all that sort of thing. And you just miss him when he's not there, because he leads by example and he's not afraid to do whatever it takes to bring the team success. And he holds guys accountable on the ice, and it's just so many different things about Andrew Lord that you could say regarding what he brings to you on the ice. But as we said, we do feel that in the past he's maybe done a bit of a Corey Nielsen and played himself on the top power play line and you know, all that sort of thing, played himself in important situations, and the league is getting very, very fast, and Andrew's getting a little bit older. Not to say that he can't still play at this level, because by God he can, but as other teams are getting better, we have to as well. And I think that means this year Andrew will have to drop himself down the lineup, maybe play a bit more penalty kill time, and just contribute in a different way, I think, is the best way to put it.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. And I suppose something we'll come on to as to whether he plays every game or he'll be run with a spare and he stands on the bench some of the time. Another couple of re-signings, you know, more guys that we've had since, you know, the start of the new era, if you like. Aaron in Joey Martin and Joey Haddad.
Sorry.
Can't act up. Two huge re-signings, Aaron. You know, I think absolutely no shock that they're both back, but you know, it would have been left a big hole if either of them had left.
Yeah, definitely. They're both Cardiff Devils through and through. They're both fantastic players. You know, Joey Martin have had probably the best 3 years probably one of the best players in the elite league the last 3 years. Joey Haddad coming off one of the best seasons he's had in his career. You know, it's just fantastic to see both back. There's not a lot more you can say. They, like I said, Cardiff Devils through and through, and if either one of those left, like you said, it's a big hole to fill, and I'm glad we got to keep both of them, and you know, we've got that chant, and it's fantastic when we get to sing it.
Yeah, and I think probably worth noting, Joey Martin, still exceptional last year, but had a bit of the pressure taken off him, and you know, wasn't the go-to guy, so didn't put up quite the number of points that he did, but we weren't relying on him in every single situation as well, so you know, I think he was just as influential last year, even though that the points probably weren't there. One of the big reasons, especially in the latter half of the season, as to why a lot of the pressure was taken off Joey Martin was certain favourite of Mr. Wren in Lane Ulmer, who you know consistently put up the points all year, but from around December time, really found his touch, got his groove in British hockey, and was. I think his points from December onwards, points per game, it was something unreal not long before the end of the season. I think a good re-signing. One, were you surprised to get back, Sean, given his age, the fact he had a child while he was over here, had finished school? Were you expecting Ulmer to retire?
I think I was.
you know, we'd spent a lot of time in Italy, like four or five years. I think that was, it was that sort of length of time. Come over here, you know, done his schooling, had a baby, as you said, and basically had the best year he could have imagined, you know, in terms of on the ice. You know, we won the league first time in 20 years or whatever, and he basically was part of a team which it was just unbelievable. It was an unbelievable year, an unbelievable group of guys, and I thought that the way Lionel Moore would view it is that he was another year older. Did he want to do that to his body again? And I was shocked to see him be, you know, return again this year, because for all the reasons I just said, he could have just left on a high and gone to use his MBA straight away and done a million different things. But I'm glad he's back. I was one of the people who early on in the season I was not impressed with him at all. But like you said, he got his groove, found his place in British hockey, sort of got a feel for it, and he was absolutely unbelievable from about late November onwards. Absolutely out of this world. And I think we've lacked that sort of second, that, you know, that spread of scoring, like you just mentioned, with the pressure being taken off a guy like Joey Martin. And Lane Ulmer just brought it. And the chemistry he had with Patrick Asselin and Joey Haddad, that line was terrifying, and it was probably the best line in the league in the later stages of last year. And so I am delighted to have him back. I would be very surprised if he goes one further and does the third one in a row, but let's just enjoy it while he's here.
Yeah, and you said I was another one who was not impressed with Lane Ulmer, and if we were looking at changes, he would have been top of the list for me. We don't say it very often, so we do need to say it when it happens. There was a certain person on the podcast who was right. Who said to keep it going. He was going to come good. But Aaron, well, he did come good. He definitely proved Sean and myself and a lot of Devils fans wrong. Proved you right. Can we expect more from Lane Ulmer next year? He's not going to have, you know, away games where he might have to rush back because he had a heavily pregnant partner. What, he's not doing school. He's not studying for his MBA, you know, in all of his spare time. Can we expect even more from him next year, do you think?
I think, like, if you take all of them into consideration and the season he had last year with them points you've made, you know, the only way he can go is up. And yeah, he's 36. Yeah, he's getting a bit on. He's not the fastest player, but he finds that position in front of that net every time and slots it home. So if he can do that another 30-odd times next year, bring it on. I'd be over the moon for that. You know, if he plays with Joey Haddad again, you know, he can get Joey Haddad on the sheet like he did. Them two had amazing chemistry together. And we haven't signed him yet, but Patrick Asselin, he's another guy. If we can get that line going again, top line, second line, top six, fantastically. He's going to, I do think, he knows the league now. He knows what to expect. And he knows the teams inside and out, basically, because he's just got, I hope he rips it up. I hope he proves me right again, rips it up, and ain't nobody like Lane Ulmer.
Someone say it.
I think the thing with Ulmer as well is that over the years, you know, we added a guy like Doucette to be a sniper and be a goal scorer, but we never really sort of, it's been a long time since we just had a bit of a poacher. Someone who, like Aaron said, just stood in front of the net. The puck, someone would get the puck to him, and you play with a guy like Patrick Asselin, who his playmaking ability is through the roof, and he just finds goals from absolutely nowhere. Not got a bad shot on him by any stretch. Can snipe it with the best of them, but just a perfect poacher.
Yeah, definitely. And Aaron mentioned Patrick Asselin, and if we can start the year running a line that ended the year so well, that's only going to do him massive favours. That he's going to stepping onto the ice with two guys that he showed brilliant chemistry with.
We're going to end up going to the back to the MML line at this rate.
Well, yeah, let's play that as well. They're all year next year. Why not?
Oh dear.
Make it your third line. I wouldn't mind too much. Right, another thing Aaron was right about. Sean Bentivoglio also returning, a guy that I really didn't expect to come back. Again, very similar to Lane Olmer. As Sean said, a lot of years away. Good year. His wife recently had their second child, and had announced on Twitter that they had a home back in Canada. So I was like, Sean Bentivoglio's gone. But he's also back, and Sean was also right when he said that him and Olmer should be split up. They would play better on separate lines. And Olmer definitely did, and I think Benty did as well. For me, I think it took a bit longer for him to get into his stride. I think he only really started showing his true potential sort of coming through January, coming towards the end of January, Sean. So some big goals then after that. But again, found some real good chemistry with Joey Martin, and you know, coming back, you're thinking he's going to slot on in there. Are you happy to see Benty back?
I was a bit lukewarm to it. I think that I did think that Bentivoglio had a very good year towards the later stages, and I think playing with a guy like Joey Martin just will just make you 100 times better, because the guy just makes everyone around him better. But I think I think as a team you shouldn't stand still. I think you do have to make changes. I did think that Bentivoglio would be one of our players moving on for the reasons that you said. And I thought that was maybe good in the sense that we would have that newer, you know, we would still have something fresh. But I'm fine with seeing Bentivoglio back. I do think that he had flashes and very good in the corners. His work rate was very, very good. And I think on the power play particularly, he was very, very instrumental in some of our success, playing with Joey Martin in particular. But overall, I'm not disappointed to see him back, is the way that I would put it. And I think I expect a bit more from him this year, given how good he was towards the end of last year. And I think he's going to come up with the goods yet again. I think Bentivoglio will have a better season this year coming forward.
Yeah, I think that's definitely what we'll be hoping for. He's shown through his career, Aaron, that he is a winner. He does put up points, and yeah, he started slowly, but I think from speaking to you previously, I think you similar to Sean in that you were lukewarm, if you like, about the signing. But are you're confident of a better season from him?
You know, he's the same as Elmer. He's got that year in the Elite League under his belt. He knows what to expect. You know, he's got guys around him this year that he had last year. It's all factors that are going to play into his favour, and it's going to make him a better player. Like you said, he's a winner. Him and Elmer both won numerous trophies in Italy, so they know how to win. They know what to expect from winners. So it's not. The only reason I was a little bit disappointed is, you know, I know the type of, like, I love the team from last year, the year before and the year before that, but I do think that there is always room to improve on teams. And not saying Bentivoglio didn't do a fantastic job this year, and I no doubt he's going to do the same this year. I just think he was a slot that we could have upgraded on, but I'm no coach. I know nothing, so. But I'm happy to have him back now, you know. As long he'll take it all into his stride, he'll score some brilliant goals like he did last year, some highlight reels, and get him to play his skin. And if he can do that, what more can you ask for, really, innit?
Very true. And the last re-signing, another one I think that's been met with more of a lukewarm response is the re-signing of your last season's captain, Jake Morissette, who finished the season prematurely with a broken foot. He'd been carrying an injury through a large part of the season up to that point. But we're still, yeah, and he is lukewarm, and I can understand it. You know, we're talking about needing to upgrade, offset with keeping your consistency. I think, you know, we've already signed two new imports. We've got four more spots to fill. You're expecting at least two of those, to be new players. So that's going to be four new players plus Craig Moore. A decent number of changes, I think, there. And he was playing top line minutes and putting up good points. Sean, for you, are you happy to see Jake Morrissey back? And do you think he's going to be coming back playing, you know, permanently, or will he be sharing ice time? I think a few questions.
I think Morrissey will be back playing permanently. I would. Am I happy to see him back? Yeah, because I am, in a sense. I think that he brings a lot to our penalty kill. I think he's one of the best penalty killers I've seen in a long, long time. Blocks shots like an absolute beast. And he can still play. He can still score goals. I think with a good line, he can produce. Very good two-way forward. Will backcheck incredibly hard. Skates fairly quick. I think... if he was destined for top 6 minutes, I'd be a bit more apprehensive about his return. But I fully expect him to be playing on the third line, probably replacing the sort of, you know, he checks a lot of boxes. Like I just said, shot blocking and all the penalty kill. He checks a lot of boxes that Chris Culligan did. And I think if we directly replace Culligan with Morissette in that slot, then... I think that's a reasonable way to look at his return, and if that's the case, then I'm happy with it. And he is our captain. He would have been a big part of, you know, a lot of the locker room conversations with that happened regarding, you know, you look at that weekend in Belfast when we came back from the deficit, and you know, he would have been part of the group of guys in there that I know Joe, your dad said Matthew Myers stood up and said some words, but As a captain, you know, as a team of captains, he was part of it. And you take that away, and what happens in that game? We don't win it. We don't win that weekend. So many things can go differently. And Morissette was a massive, integral part of what happened last year. And so on that basis, yeah, I'm glad to see him back.
Excellent. And the last new signing, the only new forward so far, another guy picked up from Dundee. Justin Farinha, two seasons in Dundee, he's gone over a point a game there. He's a tough guy. He dropped the gloves a few times, more than willing to fight. As I said, shown that he's more than capable of putting up points as well. Good pickup for you, Aaron?
I liked him up in Dundee. I thought he played quite a physical game. You know, he put some points up in Dundee too. He's a big guy, you know, he's not afraid to drop the gloves with anyone. We noticed that he fought mostly all the big guys from the Elite League last year. He can throw himself about a little bit. I think he offers quite a lot and brings a lot to the table. If he's going to play on that fourth or third line and as a grinder, then he's a perfect fit for this team. It's something we've probably been lacking last year. You know, we was in the physical team throughout the season as we have been, and maybe he can bring that to the table and get a crowd going sometimes, and who knows, I think he's a team guy, and he seems to love his hockey, so you know, it's not a lot of bad things you can say about him. He knows the league as well, and it'll be good to see him play with better players than what he has done, and maybe he can put up a little bit more points, and who knows.
If he goes point a game, I'm more than happy if he doesn't go up any further than that, but he can do. So that's the roster so far. You know, we said we've got a couple of gaps left. Be interested to see which or both or either of the Hothams come back if we get Patrick Aslin, and then who the last import is on top of that. We've had a few burning questions that I think we've covered a lot of. Kenwyn Jones said that, asked our thoughts on sort of the quality of the league, whether it had got better as a whole, you know, pointing to Sheffield and Nottingham looking young and improved. We obviously discussed Sheffield, Nottingham had a big change, so hard to tell. I think the league has improved in terms of depth. I don't think the top end quality of the league has gone up so far. And it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And, you know, obviously the Devil's not making a lot of changes. We're not going to be the ones pushing that massively. Hopefully we'll be pushing on a little bit. And then the last question from Tony Dickin around whether or not we need an enforcer. Aaron, discuss, you know, Farinha, you know, offering that bit of power. You know, mentioned Drew Paris being a big body to stand up, for to players in and around the goalie. And you know, we've talked about Josh Batch and his toughness. Sean, for you, do you think we need a deterrent? You know, Patrick Bordaloe maybe didn't do everything that was hoped of him, but we didn't have a lot of fights last year, and you probably would say possibly down in part due to the deterrent factor that he offered. Do you think we need a guy in that sort of mould for this coming year?
In terms of needing an enforcer, I don't think so. You look at Patrick Bordaloe last year, only had to fight, fought twice, maybe three times, and nothing too sinister. Overall, I think the team toughness is the most important thing. The enforcer role is dying a slow death, and I think it's a good thing. It will come back one day, but right now, teams don't need to carry enforcers. I'd rather carry a guy like Farina who can drop them. If needed, a guy like Lord who can drop them if needed. Like I said, Lewis, Paris, Batch. These are guys who are all not afraid to drop the mitts, and I'd rather have that than an enforcer in any day of the week.
And for you, Aaron, do you want to see that deterrent or tough guy there? Or are you happy with what we've got so far?
You've got Justin Farina who can handle himself. We know that. We got Andrew Lord. We know he can handle himself. Batch, he can handle himself. Mark Lewis can handle himself. This Drew Paris, we're not quite sure. So, but he's a big guy, and I've seen a couple of videos of him fighting before. So you've got five guys who's willing to stick up for your team and do whatever it takes to help out the little guys. So I would take five over one. And, you know, you can spread them out through the lineup, so you've always got that protection on the ice. So I take that, them five over one guy who offers, Bordy was a good skater and he made an impact when he was on the ice, but other than that, he didn't fight a lot. So, them five players all offer something different other than fighting. So if they can't do it and stick up for teammates, brilliant. If not, then I don't think it's a role that's needed as much in the Elite League anymore. So, and the money that got thrown about for people like McGrattan and Rosehill, even Bordaloe, was probably ridiculous. So I'd rather keep that money, spend it on improving five other players' positions than fill in one that's going to play limited ice time and probably not make much of an impact. So, yeah.
Excellent. That answers this week's burning question, so thank you to Tony and Kenwin. Anyone else got any questions when we come up to our next show, please do share them. We'll tweet out before we record, hopefully not with like a 4-week lead time like we've done this week for this show. We said we were going to discuss the CHL. I'm very conscious that we've gone very long, and if you've made it this far, as always, congratulations in getting through the slog. but we'll definitely be doing another show, to round up the rest of our roster, to discuss the exhibitions matches that we've got before the CHL. We've got Nottingham twice, Braehead, and the Creffield Penguin. I think that's how you have to say it. Obviously, we're in the Aladdin Cup as well, so that's massive. So we'll be talking about that.
Can't wait for that.
Let's go 5 for 5 this year, guys.
Yes. Dry for five again. Yeah, so the CHL's year, it was amazing watching the draw, watching your team in the Champions League. It was awesome. Some good trips lined up as well. Davos, just as Liberec and Växjö. But we'll cover that in a lot more depth on our next show, which we're probably going to be looking around the middle of August before you hear from us again. Some of you have said you've missed us, but I'm sure for the majority of you that's a massive relief. So, thank you everyone for listening to this. Thank you for your comments. Let us know what you think of the show. Keep the conversation going on Twitter about anything that we've discussed, and we'll let you know where you're wrong if you disagree with any of us in response. Thank you to Sean and Aaron, and as ever, thank you for listening. And that is your Red Army Roundup.
Ain't nobody like me no more. Every single one of us, the devil inside, the devil inside, the devil inside, every single